Let's go to Matthew chapter number 8. We're going to continue our sermon series on the idea of casting. It's amazing all the different things in the Bible concerning this idea of casting. We started with casting our cares upon him, for he careth for us. Had two or three different people come to me and said, "Preacher, last week, casting down imaginations helped me so much, helped me so much." Well, we're going to talk today, preach on the subject of casting out devils, In Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 14, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 14. When Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'll help us, dear God. Very serious subject this morning. Serious, a subject that needs to be addressed biblically, a subject that needs to be studied carefully. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we rightly divide the Bible today. Lord, I pray, dear God, there'd be a heightened awareness in our life concerning, dear God, the fact that we have an enemy, and that enemy has an army. We heard about the unseen hand. We're so thankful for that unseen hand. But Lord, that's not all that's unseen. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to be aware of what's going on in our country and what's going on in our community, Lord. And we would keep these things from our own homes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, I want to cover a lot of material today, and I'm just going to tell you that I'm going to do it in a timely fashion. Because of that, I'm going to be reading some verses. I'll allude to some things. I won't chase down every scripture. I will tell you that the last book that I published for young people was called A Teenager's Guide to the Invisible Creation. And a lot of the material that I'm just going to touch on, if you go back and get that book in our bookstore back there, it's well worth reading. Folks, there is a visible creation and there is an invisible creation. And there is an increase in demonic activity in the United States of America and around the world. This should not surprise us, because if you go back to the first time that Jesus came, when he was born in a manger and laid in a stable, when Jesus came into the world the first time, there was an increase, a large increase of demonic activity. It seems like wherever Jesus went, there was a problem with people being either possessed or oppressed by the devils of hell. And you say, "Preacher, are you serious, man? I'm a visitor here. You're talking about demons? They're real?" They're absolutely 100% real. You won't find the word demon in the Bible. The Bible doesn't call them demons. The Bible calls them devils or spirits, small s spirits. And they're very real. They are very active in this day. And we're going to pull the curtain back on them. And I think when I go through and show you in the Bible some of the things that always accompany heightened demonic activity, you're going to realize that I'm describing the United States of America, folks. It's going on around us. You say, "Preacher, where did these devils come from?" Well, when Satan fell from heaven, by the way, whether you know this or not, Satan used to be one of the three archangels in heaven, and he was in charge of the music. By the way, that's why when he came down to earth, he uses those skills so effectively to affect the hearts of people and demonically possess and oppress them through the music that they listen to. But when Satan fell from heaven, the Bible teaches us that he deceived one third of the angels of God's angels into following him into rebellion. We read in Revelations 12, verse 3 and 4, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And its tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did it cast them to the earth. What is that talking about? That's talking about one third of the angels, the Bible teaches us, followed the devil in his rebellion against God. These fallen angels, now referred to in the Bible as devils, have now become the servants of Satan. They assist him in trying to destroy the souls of the lost, and they assist him in fighting against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay with me. I love what Augustine said. We could all learn a lesson from this. It was pride that changed angels into devils. It was pride that changed angels into devils. Be careful that you do not lift yourself up in pride against the Lord and against his work. And so the Bible teaches us 10 truths concerning these devils, 10 truths concerning these beings we refer to as demons, and I'll list them for you, but I can't teach them, all right? Maybe make a comment or two. Number one, these devils are many. In Hebrews 12:22, the Bible talks about the innumerable company of angels. Well, if God's angels are innumerable and the devil persuaded one third of them, I don't know what one third of innumerable is, but there are many. You say, preacher, where are they today? Well, many are active here on earth doing the bidding of their evil master. What you have to remember about the devil is he's not omnipresent. God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere at one time. The devil is not omnipresent. He can only be in one location at a time, so he's very dependent upon his, what I call his invisible army, to carry out his work around the earth. So many of these devils are active here on earth. We're taught in Jude 1:6 that some of the devils, when they fell, were chained and awaiting judgment in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment against that great day. We also, if you want to study this out, and it's interesting, some devils who are now chained will be released during the tribulation period. By the way, you don't want to be here during the tribulation period, all right? Let me just say that. So number one, devils are many. Number two, devils are loyal. The Bible tells us about a time when the scribes came and accused Jesus of casting out devils through the power of Beelzebub. And you know what? The Jesus explanation and answer to that was, and he called unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. I think the Church of Jesus Christ could learn something from demons, amen? They're many and they are loyal. They are loyal to their evil master. Number three, the devils are very organized. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those four things are mentioned very specifically. Principalities are talking about that the fact that Satan rules, does his ruling through magistrates. That means that there are some devils that oversee larger divisions of his followers. They're very much organized in a military type fashion. When the Bible mentions power, some devils have delegated influence and mastery. I would call these the elite forces of the devil, very dangerous. When it talks about rulers of the darkness of this world, that's talking about geographically placed satanic rulers. And again, one thing the devil doesn't lack is organization. Number four, spiritual wickedness in high places. These are supernaturally depraved plotters. They're in charge of coordinating attacks upon godly strongholds. Listen, folks, the devils are very organized in carrying out what they do against God's work. Number four, devils create strongholds. And we read about Pergamos and the church in Pergamos in Revelation chapter 2, where the seat of Satan is. Very interesting. Again, I can't go into a deep study of all of this, but there are in the world today, and there are even in our own community, what I call satanic strongholds. And I won't go into a lot of it, but sometimes the devil just has created great influence upon a city, upon a town, upon an area, upon a county, upon a region. What are the characteristics of a demonic stronghold? Well, you'll always find there a concentration of demonic activity. You'll find a concentration of occult activity. You'll find a concentration of people that are enslaved to sin. You'll find a concentration of false religions. And you'll find a concentration of persecuted Christians. And by the way, a lot of our missionaries are going to mission fields that are satanic strongholds. Let's please pray for our missionaries. These areas need a gospel light. I thought about this. I'm just going to throw it out to you. If there can be satanic strongholds, can't there be strongholds for God? How about a concentration of Holy Spirit activity? How about a concentration of evangelistic fervor? How about a concentration of people being set free from sin? How about a concentration of preaching the truth? How about a concentration of witnessing Christians? But there are definitely satanic strongholds, and they're not all on foreign soil, folks. There are places and cities in America you can go to, and you can cut it with a knife. You can feel the presence of the devil himself there. The Bible teaches us, number five, that some devils can work miracles. I won't go deep into this. We see this back in the book of Exodus. You know what? When God gave Aaron and Moses the ability to perform miracles, you know what? Pharaoh had his sorcerers that stood up and performed some miracles too. We'll see this again in the tribulation period. In the last days, one of the ways that the masses will be deceived is because of the fact that the Antichrist will be able to work such great miracles. And so some devils can work miracles. Number six, devils fight against the work of God. Now, let's not make a doubt about this, folks. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. When I see Christians falling and departing from the faith, I know it's for one of two reasons. They've either given heed to seducing spirits or doctrines of devils. The devil also comes to the house of the Lord. Yes, he does. They do not just try to destroy the lost. They try to disrupt the saved. One man said this, the number on your church's attendance board only reveals the number of those in attendance from the visible creation. If most of us could see all that were in attendance each Sunday, both good and evil, from the invisible creation, it would drive the church to its knees in prayer. How about that? Number seven, I'll give you this, the devils believe in God. By the way, that means the devils are smarter than atheists, amen. They believe in God and have the sense to tremble at the mere mention of the Almighty. James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Number eight, devils know who Christ is and know they must obey his direct commands. We see this in every encounter. And by the way, I'm going to warn you about demonic activity, but I want to remind you that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But every time we see Jesus confront demons or demonic influence or devils or evil spirits, whatever he commanded them to do, they had to do it. And number nine, we understand also that demons are doomed. Matthew 25, verse 41, then say he also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The devil and his angels. Now, I laid the groundwork. That's nine of the ten. I'm going to preach the sermon on the 10th one in the book. I think it's number six. But folks, the subject matter today is concerning this idea of casting out demons. I'm going to have you go to Luke chapter number eight. And I want to show you an instance in the Bible. And again, folks, I mean, we're scraping the surface of this. There's so much in the Word of God concerning this subject. And we ought to be well read and well studied and well educated and well informed concerning our enemy and what he's trying to do. And we ought to be able to look around with a studied eye at our country and see how successful the devils of hell are being in influencing the culture and the society here in the United States of America. You know, the Bible says of Jesus in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. A large part of Christ's earthly ministry was healing people who were either possessed or oppressed by devils. I want to examine an encounter between Christ and the maniac of Gadara and list the symptoms of those who are demon-possessed or demonically oppressed. In Luke chapter number 8, if you look at verse number 26, Luke chapter 8, verse number 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Didn't sound like that these demons or devils, even though they were many here, was any match for the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that's a blessing. Make sure that you're saved. Make sure that you have Jesus Christ in your heart. Make sure that you're a child of God. All right, make sure of that today, all right? The Bible says in verse 29, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, folks, if we study this portion of Scripture out and we look what the Bible has to say, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, we begin to see that a man here who's been controlled, oppressed, possessed by devils, what this begins to do to his life. We can look at this and look around at the United States of America and understand once again that there is a lot of demonic activity in America. Folks, listen to me. We've come to the place and time where much of these things that I'm going to mention has become accepted, and some of them even defended as normal. But they're not normal. They're not normal, and there's somebody that's having influence on the young people of the United States of America. We see increased demonic activity. Say, "Preacher, give me some of the evidences. What are some of the results? What are some of the symptoms of a culture that's being demonically oppressed?" Demonic activity produces nakedness. In verse number 27, the Bible says, "And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time." And the first thing it says about him, and wear no clothes. Later on, when Jesus healed that man and drove out those demons, they went out to see him. And the Bible says in verse 35 that they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You look up that word clothed, it means he was covered. He was covered. Folks, listen to me. You can say, "Well, preacher, everybody's doing it. It doesn't make it right." But everybody, you don't understand, it's normal. It's not normal. It's demonic. It's a abnormal, satanic thing for us not to dress modestly. It's an unnormal, satanic thing for us to just be as gross as America's become when it comes to this matter of just showing ourselves. And Christians, don't buy into this nonsense. All right? It wasn't the Holy Spirit of God that told you to go out and trade your skirts in for hot pants. That wasn't the Holy Spirit of God. Be very careful what you're defending. You know what? You look around at America today, and I'm sorry, but the average person that dresses on the street, and I know they're doing it out of ignorance, and I know a lot of them don't understand the Bible principles, but they don't understand that the only way you can make that okay in your mind is to open yourself up to some type of demonic influence. You know, the Bible teaches ladies especially that they're to dress modestly. But men, that doesn't let us off the hook either. You know, we ought to cover ourselves. I often point back to the book of Genesis. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God and took of that forbidden fruit. The Bible says their eyes were open, that they were naked, and they took fig leaves. And the Bible says they made them aprons, which literally means loincloths. And then they hid from the presence of the Lord. When God came down and accosted them, and by the way, he slew an animal, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But he didn't just slay that animal for the blood. He took the skins of that animal, and the Bible says he made them coats, made coats out of them. Study the word coats. It means something that starts at the shoulders and hangs down and covers the body. Listen, folks, it's not of God that we become a nation of nakedness and indecency. Demonic activity produces in the mind, even of Christians sometime, the fact that somehow now all of a sudden that's okay. Number two, demonic activity produces homelessness. Is that an epidemic in the United States of America? Verse number 27 says, neither abode in any house. He neither abode in any house. The Bible says this man would not stay in a house. He wouldn't abide in a house. It wasn't that there wasn't a house provided. He wouldn't stay there. Those who work with homeless people will attest to the fact that, watch this, not every one of them, folks, but a large number could have housing, but turn it down. They turn down those opportunities. Much of the mental illness associated with homelessness, yes, I'm going to say it, is really demonic activity and demonic oppression. The only thing that's going to fix that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he fixed this guy. I suppose he could fix those folks too. Amen. All right, it's not going to take another social program. We don't need to throw more tax money at it. It's not the fact that most of them don't have a place to go, but home, listen to me, because we're going to apply this in a broader sense. Home becomes almost an abomination to somebody that's demonically possessed and demonically controlled. Let me say this, folks. Home in the Bible was created by God. The family structure was created by God. And yet we are watching the destruction of the home, and we're watching a lot of people detest their home. Young people, listen, are you thankful for the home that God's given you? You walk around acting like good night. It's horrible where you have to live, and it's horrible to parents. You know what? I'm sorry, but that's not coming from God. That's not coming from God. We're talking about demonic activity here, folks. Demonic activity creates, number one, nakedness. Number two, homelessness. Number three, demonic activity creates an infatuation with death. Look at verse number 27. Okay, if he didn't abide in the house, where did he abide? The Bible says at the end of that verse, but in the tombs. The tombs, of all the places that he could have lived, of all the places he could have camped out, of all the places he could choose to live, why in the world would you go live in a cemetery? Can I say this? And I think if you're honest and your eyes are open and you're looking around at the culture, there is an unhealthy infatuation with death. Folks, listen to me. I want you to listen carefully. Some of you young people, you need to hear this. Well, you're just an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, fuddy-dud preacher preaching against everything. We are now spending, in the United States of America, more money on Halloween than we do Christmas. Let that sink in. That ought to terrify us. That ought to scare us. Oh my, I'm going to tell you, at our house, boy, we'd spend more time decorating for Halloween. Why do you do that? Why is there an infatuation in your heart with those things? Stay with me, folks. Stay with me. All right? The man chooses to dwell in the tomb. Our culture has an infatuation with death. It's well documented. Gothic styles, skulls, ghost hunting, and sadly, even suicide are becoming normal today. Music and movies strongly reflect this demonic activity of our life. Folks, listen, I'm just going to tell you, look at a lot of the tattoos that people are wearing and tell me there's not an infatuation with death. All right, look at a lot of the t-shirts that our young people are walking around with and tell me that there's not an infatuation with death. Look at the paint jobs that's being put on cars and motorcycles and tell me there's not an infatuation with death. Folks, listen to me. God doesn't promote death. He offers life, abundant life, eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not the death, the life. And everything that Jesus is, the devil's the opposite of it. And he wants people to be so focused and concentrated on death. We're going to get to this in a minute. But you know what? The devil, he's not only a liar, he's a murderer. And he would love every single person to destroy their own lives. And he's done a good job with this man. Well, I'm glad this has a happy ending, all right? Don't be discouraged. It's going to have a happy ending. But you know, we walk around acting like, you know, all we need to do is medicate kids. All we need to do is send them to therapy. All we need to do is pretend that all this stuff is normal and accept it. No, somebody needs to stand up and preach against it and says it's the devil that's behind it. And you know what they need? They need Jesus, because Jesus can free you from this stuff, all right? How about this? Look in verse number 29. Demonic activity results in uncontrolled fits of anger. Uncontrolled fits of anger. Verse number 29, for he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound. And by the way, if you look up that word caught him, it means to cause this man to have basically an emotional or anger outburst, a wrath problem, an anger problem. Talk to those that are working in the public school system. Stay with me here. It is said of this man that the devils caught him. Often he became destructive. Often he became violent. More and more young people are being sent to anger management classes when the answer to their problems could be found if the parents would send them to Sunday school. Send them to Sunday school. Good night. I mean, folks, I talk to our bus workers. Some of you have heard it sitting in the auditorium here. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass any kid or any family. But I'm going to tell you something, when we're picking up children and they're not that big, and you know what, we get them on the property, and I'm telling you what, they go off. They become something they're not. They're throwing things and screaming and trying to hurt themselves and trying to hurt other people and swearing and saying things that could not. I wouldn't even imagine saying when I was a teenager, let alone a kid. And you think, what is going on? More and more parents are just looking at each other, and they don't even know what to do with the kids anymore. But just go ahead and keep sticking them in front of that video game that has the occult and is introducing them to the occult and opening doors into their life. Well, I don't know what's wrong with my teenage girl. Well, I don't know. Just don't worry about that music that she's in there listening to that promotes demonic themes and promotes devil worship. I mean, listen. Yeah, we're an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church. And you know what? Rock and roll music was wrong in 1950, 1960, and it's definitely hellishly wrong in 2018. Uncontrolled fits of anger. Number five, demonic activity results in imprisonment. I'm not even spending near the time on these. There's many of them. Verse 29, the community finally had to chain him. They had to chain him. Our prisons are filled with people. I'm not saying everybody in prison has this problem, but you'd be shocked how many of them do. Our prisons and jails are filled with people who are so controlled by devils that there becomes nothing left to do with them. Excuse me, folks, but put them in a cage. They can't even mingle with society. All kinds of attempts are being made to rehabilitate them when they really just need Jesus. They just need Jesus. Number six, demonic activity sometimes exhibits itself in superhuman strength. You see in verse number 29, it says, for oft times it had caught him and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And what did he do? And he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And folks, let me tell you something. Talk to law enforcement. I remember standing on a street in Chicago as a young Bible college student, watch 7, then 8, then 9, then 10 full-grown, strong Chicago policeman trying to get one uncontrollable maniac in the back of a paddy wagon. And I stood there and watched that man do things against those 10 men that was not natural, was not human. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're seeing some things. I'm going to go ahead and say this. It's happening in our sports areas, too. You young people that are involved in sports better be careful. You say, well, it's so cool because this athlete can do this and this athlete can do this. And man, I'm telling you what, have you ever watched themselves prep themselves for what they're about to go into? I know it looks really cool to have those headphones on. It makes them look all swag when they're walking in. But do you know what's being pumped into their brains before they go onto the field of battle? And many of them are tapping into things that are not natural and that are dangerous and that are demonic. And sometimes because of that, you see them being able to do sometimes some superhuman type thing. I want to say this because we kid around with some of the people about it sometimes. But I'm just going to say from the pulpit, you young people that are watching all this cage wrestling and all this stuff, that is not normal. That is not natural. That should not be viewed as entertainment. You need to turn that stuff off. Turn it off. There's not a thing about that entire environment that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just need to take your preacher's word about some things, amen. Number 7, demonic activity results in bizarre and insane behavior. This man had to be driven into the wilderness at the end of verse number 29. The only thing they could finally do with this uncontrollable maniac, can you see the entire community? Can you see the entire village? Can you see them bring their farm instruments? Can you see them just say, all we can do is just get him out of the city and get him out of town? Can you watch them as they prod and poke and drive him away from civilization, away from the city, away from his family, away from the population, away from the children? This man had to be driven into the wilderness. With the increase of demonic activity in these last days, more and more people, excuse me folks, they're suffering from mental issues. They're given drugs that in many cases create the potential for even more violent, more self-destructive behavior. And I'm going to tell you, it's documented. This is not Jerry Ross making this up. I can show you the documentation on it. Every single mass shooting, every single mass murder that's happened in the United States of America where somebody's walking in with a gun or a knife or some other weapon and mass killing people, every one of them is on some type of mind-altering or behavior-altering drugs. Every single one. Why aren't they outlawing those things instead of trying to outlaw the guns? Demonic activity. And by the way, you look at that word sorcery in the Bible and you study it out. That comes from the same root word that we get our word pharmaceutical or pharmaceutics from. And let me tell you something, folks. We are in a nation and part of a nation that is just drugged out of its mind. And a lot of the things that are being given to our people, I'm not talking about illegal drugs, even though we've got problems with that. I'm talking about stuff that's being handed to our people over the counter. I believe are being used to prep us for one day being controlled by the Antichrist. You can call me crazy if you want. I guarantee you I've read and I've got the research. So demonic activity is resulting in this bizarre, insane behavior. Demonic activity results in exceedingly fierce and violent tendencies. In this story, the account that we read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says in Matthew, it tells us that this man was exceedingly fierce, quote, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. He was a danger to innocent people. He would aggressively attack those who passed by. More and more newspaper headlines are filled with people just going off and committing committing acts of random violence. It's impossible to deny that the devil is having a part in these things. Number 9, demonic activity sometimes results in self-mutilation or other forms of self-destructive behavior. In Mark chapter 5, verse 5, Mark's account tells us this man engaged in crying and cutting himself with stones. Self-mutilation has become a national epidemic with young people. Self-destructive behavior, maybe not cutting, but including drugs, alcohol abuse, eating disorders. Cutting is very common in our time. This, again, is evidence of the growing number of people who are falling under satanic oppression. By the way, if you've been involved in this stuff, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to tell you that there's an answer. There is an answer and there is help. But it's not in the psychiatrist's office. And it's not in therapy. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit of God has never told a person to hurt themselves or be engaged in self-destructive behavior. The devil wants to destroy us. God wants to lift us up. He wants to deliver us. Number 10, demonic activity results in suicidal thoughts and attempts. In Mark chapter 9, a man came to Jesus with his son. And you know what he told Jesus? This boy was possessed by devils. And he said this, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And here's a dad at his, he's at his wit ends. He doesn't know what to do. He just loves his boy and he knows something's wrong and he can't fix it. And he said, you know what? This young man all of a sudden will be sitting around the fire cooking and he'll just throw himself right in the middle of the fire. There's other accounts in the Bible of people throwing themselves into the water trying to drown themselves. What's going on? What's going on? Say, preacher, that's not going on in America. Oh, my goodness, it is, it is, it is. An article published in the HuffPost in August of 2017, the suicide rates for adolescent boys and girls have been steadily rising since 2007, according to a report from the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The suicide rate for girls ages 15 to 19 doubled from 2007 to 2015. And when it reached its highest point in 40 years, the suicide rate for boys 15 to 19 increased by 30% over the same time period. The analysis looked at data from 1975 to 2015, the most recent year those statistics were available. This is sad. I'm telling you where it's skyrocketing right now, folks. The suicide rate for teen girls used to be lower than teen boys. And by the way, it's still lower. But it also is following a faster rate of increase. The numbers are alarming. Reminders that suicide is a growing, here's what they call it, a growing public health problem. No, it's a growing demonic problem. It's not a public health problem. It's a problem that moms and dads are not getting their kids into the church house. They're not raising them in church. It's a problem with young people that are getting into things sometimes behind their parents' back and opening up demonic doors of influence into their life. Folks, listen to me. I'm here. I'm just serious as I could be. I'm blowing the trumpet. I'm watching things that I can't even explain anymore. And it's not just happening in families that don't go to church. Sometimes it's happening in good families and with good people. And these are not normal things. Now do they need help? They need help. But they need help from the right person. Nobody could fix this man until Jesus came by. Until Jesus came by. Well, preacher, you're talking about casting. Are we going to get to that? Is it possible to cast devils out of our lives, out of our home, out of our churches, out of our churches, out of our church? Sure it is. The Bible answer to that question is emphatic. Yes. Yes. Because I've got great news for you. I read through all this story. But I want to go back and read verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, folks, the honest truth is, if you're a born-again Christian, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the devil and his devils may not be scared of Jerry Ross, but they're scared of Jerry Ross's Savior. And I want to give you some honest practice. You say, preacher, do you suffer demonic attacks from time to time? You better believe it. Does the devil try to demonically oppress you from time to time? Yes, folks. Listen, I'm not casting stones at other people. I'm telling you, it happens to me. I've had to learn how to do warfare against the devil. But I'm not going to let him win in my life. You notice I haven't changed my dress standards. You know why? He's not winning in my life. Okay? And so stay with me here as I try to help you, okay? Preacher, I feel like that there's a demonic oppression upon our home. I feel like sometimes there's a demonic oppression upon me. Preacher, I'm scared to death for one of my children. What can I do? I want life to be right and good, and I want God to be worshiped and praised, and I want our lives to mean something. I want to help you, but you've got to be willing to help yourself. Number one. Casting out devils. How do you get these things out of your life? Number one, destroy everything in your house that is opening doors of demonic oppression. Yes, yep. Destroy everything in your house that is opening doors of demonic oppression. In Acts chapter 19, some Gentile people got saved. Amen. We're Gentiles. Amen. Bible says, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50 pieces of silver. What was the result? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now listen to me. It's just not Satanism and the occult being found in books anymore. Okay, they didn't have CDs. They didn't have records. They didn't have 8 tracks. There is music that some, listen folks, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm just going to challenge you. I'm going to throw the gauntlet down and challenge you, okay? You can sit there and cry all you want to about the uncontrolled situation of your home. But as long as you allow in your home these things that are introducing and opening satanic doors, then you're going to have to deal with the consequences of it. But we need men to stand up and say, not in my home. And we need wives that will support those husbands in those decisions. Because this isn't a game we're playing. This is for the souls of our children. These are for the souls of our grandchildren. Okay? And so you have to make a decision in your home, and I have to make a decision in my home. But I'm going to tell you something. There's not a spiritual oppression in our home. There's a Holy Spirit fullness in our home. We don't have to tiptoe around spiritual things. We can talk openly about spiritual things. You know what? There's not Satan's music blaring. There's God's music playing. And we've got to get serious about this idea of destroying everything in our house. Let me tell you where it's coming through. It's coming in the music that we're allowing in our house, these video games. Call me an old fogey if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, so many of these seemingly harmless video games that we're parking our children in front of are introducing demonic themes and demonic powers and crystals and all kinds of things. And oh, it doesn't matter. Listen, get your stinking Harry Potter books and throw them in the trash. I mean, we're reading stories that glorify and make heroes out of witches and warlocks. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. That's, I know. The devil's pretty slick, isn't he? So much of the Walt Disney movies are laced with satanic themes. Man, open your eyes, folks. Don't just park your kid in front of a set down and challenge the story, the plot, the characters against what you know about God in this book and tell me that your children ought to be watching this stuff. Okay, the devil's so good about packaging his demons. And he said, the Bible says that, hey, don't be surprised. Satan himself comes across as an angel of light, and he is packaging occult influence in ways where it's become acceptable to us. I mean, destroy everything in your house, music, the movies that you're watching. There is such an appetite in America for these demonic type movies. Good night. I mean, I got Christian people watching zombie movies. What is going on, folks? What is going on? Come on, let's get a big old giant, old fashioned. Brown paper, don't use that plastic. You're going to need a big brown one. Our big brown Kroger. And let's go to every room in the house and let's say, just what, devil? You're no longer invited in here, and we're getting this junk out of our house. We're getting it out of our house. All right? Destroy everything in your house that is opening doors of demonic oppression. What's another way that we open the door? And boy, I could preach a whole message just on that one. Number two, I'm trying to give you information. The Holy Spirit will help you with this. Listen, are you fighting against this right now? Are you sitting out there just already half mad, fighting against this? Am I speaking the truth? Am I being your friend? Then why are you having a problem with this? Number two, confess and forsake the sin of rebellion. Let me tell you where Satan is introduced into most homes. Through the sin of rebellion and our tolerance to the sin of rebellion. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." That's God's word. I just read it. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. Look it up later. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So if a Christian home's tolerating or encouraging rebellion, then why in the world are you surprised that some of the evidences that I just went through is coming out in your children and your grandchildren? Okay? I mean, we've got to stop tolerating this sin. We've got to stop engaging in this sin. Young people, the minute you begin to have a heart of rebellion against your mom and against your dad, you are open a satanic door and satanic influence into your life. My Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Watch this. Honor thy father and thy mother. Well, I'm an adult child, and so I don't have to obey. You never outgrow honoring your mom and honoring your dad. When you purposely do things that are disobedient and dishonorable to your Christian heritage, you may think it's funny. You may get on Facebook and laugh and joke about it, but you've opened up some doors into your life. All right, we've got to get this out of our... Come on, let's start with the husbands. Shouldn't we start with the men? Are we in rebellion against God? Are we in rebellion against His Word? We need to get that sin out of our lives. Don't live in rebellion against the commandments of God. And don't live in rebellion against the God of the commandments. Is there anything between you and God? If there is, Daddy, you're not going to be able to fix the rest of your house till you get that thing cleared up and clean in your life. Wives, listen to me. The Bible still teaches you that you are to submit to your husband. To not do that is to commit the sin of rebellion. I mean, there's no dancing around it. Okay? We've got, it got quiet in here. We've got a society where that's become acceptable. I mean, it's something to brag about. I'll tell you who wears the pants in that family. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Listen, when you decide that you're going to rebel against God's order for the family, you're going to rebel against the authority of your husband, whether you like it or not, you have opened a satanic window, a satanic door, and you've allowed some spirits, unhealthy spirits, to begin to... Listen, the Bible says it's as the sin of witchcraft. It's not that big a deal. Yes, it is. I've said this before where people are making excuses for teenagers to say, well, you know, they all just go through that time of rebellion. What? I mean, if you open the door of your kid's room and they were on the floor and they had a bunch of tarot cards and Ouija boards, and they'd burned a pentagram in their carpet, would you just laugh and shut the door and say, well, you know, they all go through that witchcraft phase? Would you just make a joke? Would you just make excuses for them? Or would you realize it's a problem, and you're the parents, and you need to put a stop to it? Okay? We need to treat rebellion like we would treat witchcraft. Young couples that are raising children, I'm telling you, the Bible says that you're to, listen, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But you're supposed to, listen, the rod of correction will drive that far from him. The more we've gotten away from spanking children, the more demons are in the heart of these young people. Now, I don't believe in it. Well, you don't believe the Bible, because that's not Jerry Ross's opinion. That's the Word of God that teaches that. Well, I love my child too much to spank him. The Bible says if you don't spank him, you don't love him, you hate him. That's what the Bible said. We won't deal with disobedience. We won't deal with, listen, too many times mamas are standing between dad and correcting that little devil. Mama, go take a walk. Sometimes you need to just go take a walk somewhere. Oh, I just don't like it. You're not going to like it when he's 17, 18, and he's in jail or stealing cars or on dope or uncontrollable, turning your house into a hell. You're not going to like it then. Bible said, don't spare for their crying. Well, that's good. Amen. Thank you, guys. I thought I was going to go down and amen myself a few times. But you're doing all right. You're doing all right. All right. We need this. Good night. Have we lost our minds? Ladies, I'm going to be very specific. I'm going to tell you this. Read the Bible and get ready. Get your gun loaded because, you know. But there's two men that the Bible says that you're to obey. You're to obey your husband. And the Bible says when it comes to things in the church, you are to obey them that have the rule over you, who speak to you the word of the Lord. Now listen to me. You show me a lady that has turned her heart against her husband and has a spirit of rebellion and a heart against her pastor and has a spirit of rebellion, and I'll tell you somebody, that has opened satanic doors into her life. You young ladies that are not married, You know what? There's two men that God's put into your life that you're to obey. Number one, your father, and he is number one. But when it comes to things in the church, you know what the Bible says? When it comes to your pastor, obey him that has the rule over you. If you've got a terrible attitude towards your dad and a terrible attitude, and by the way, I can stand here and call names right now. And I've watched them grow up, and I've watched them spend their whole teenage years bitter and mad and angry and rebellious against their dad, and sat out there like every time they come to church and have to listen to me preach, they're being beaten, punished, and poisoned. And I've also watched the result of their life and what God's done with it afterwards. Listen, I'm begging you, young ladies, you get your heart right with your mom and your dad, and you get your heart right with your preacher. We're not your enemies. We're your best friends. You young men, don't let a rebellion come into your heart against your dad and your mom. Don't let rebellion come to your heart against your pastor. You need a pastor. You need somebody that's brave enough to stand up and say some of the things I've said this morning. Our young people went to the youth conference down in Arkansas. I preached 3 times in that conference. One of the kids that were in a youth group, a different youth group, turned around and asked one of our boys and says, "Does your preacher preach like this all the time?" And they said, "Pretty much." They said, "Do you ever get kind of tired of his hard preaching?" And they said, "Nope, we love it. We need it." Folks, let me tell you something. Down there, that wasn't even hard preaching. I'm going to say something, and I don't want to be critical. But I'm going to say, I went to the Sword of the Lord conference. There was a preacher that got up on one of the nights, and man alive, the first 2 or 3 minutes before his message, he was talking about you better get your seat belts on. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, he built this thing up like this was going to be the most amazingly hard, crazy, call down fire from heaven message. And he said, "I'm going to say some things tonight," and all of this stuff. And then he preaches. And I'm going, he's going to get to it. He's going to get to it. He finally, one time, very bravely preached against women preachers. Then he kind of backed up. You get that about 3 times a week here. I mean, what are you talking about? Because it's Bible. And I'm sitting there and I leaned over. There's this older preacher, and we're in the back. And we got done, and I just looked at him. He kind of looked at me, and I said, "Did you hear the hard stuff? Did I doze off? I said, "Brother, you come to a Sword of the Lord conference in 1970s. They don't listen. You know why? You know why we've backed up so much? You know why we won't say some things anymore? I mean, people say, I hear this. I've heard it 4 or 5 times, and I'm just, you know, it's okay. I'll take it. But people always talk about how Pastor Jerry preaches hard. He's such a hard preacher. I'm thinking, guys, I mean, sorry. But this is pretty light stuff compared to what I grew up on. Why are we so afraid? You know why the devils are taking over? Let's hold the pulpit responsible for a minute. Because we don't have some men of God that will come to the pulpit and open the King James Holy Bible and say, "Devils, you better start running because here comes the Word of God. And I'm gonna put it plain and I'm gonna help our people and I'm gonna listen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I promise you almost everybody that the Holy Spirit's hit something in your life and you're either going to laugh it off and walk out with a bad attitude and think that I'm against you, or you're just going to keep inviting the, why don't you go home and kick the front door open and leave it open all afternoon so they can all come in?" Yes, come on. And we're losing this thing. Yep. Because we simply will not, we look at obvious rebellion and we not only will not fix it, we will coddle it, we'll support it, we'll pay for it. Listen, you know how to cure rebellion? You know how a little rebellious brat, prodigal, finally came to himself? Daddy marched him to the edge of the farm and said, "Love you, son. You come back when you can get right." And he came to himself in a pig pen, not sitting in a bedroom that you're paying for. The preacher, you don't know how it is. Excuse me, and I won't go into it, but yes, I do. But you're not going to win this thing surrendering to it. You're not going to win it surrendering to it. Good. Now, we've got to start, listen, Some of you got little ones, and buddy, already, they're, you know what? They're showing their little sin nature. You need to take care of that. You need to not put up with that. I'm going to tell you something. My dad didn't spank me a lot because, you know, when he did, and this little pat, 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 and all it does is make him mad isn't a spanking. But you got a spanking from my dad. Listen, I mean, you were calling down help from the holy angels of God. You were calling upon the 12 disciples. I mean, let the earth open and swallow me up. Just Jesus come back in the rapture. But I didn't want a second helping. I didn't turn around and laugh at my dad after he did it. And I'm talking about this problem we've got with rebellion. Rebellion, rebellion. Sunday morning message. I hope you're all right. I just thought I'd preach the hardest service at the Sword of the Lord conference. I just do it at my church on Sunday morning. Number three, saturate your life with the Word of God. Folks, listen to me. It's not just a matter of getting some things out. It's a matter of getting some things in. And you know what? The devil, he came to Jesus. He took him to an exceeding high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee. That's so laughable. Jesus owned it all anyway. If thou wilt fall down and worship me. By the way, that's what the devil's wanting you to do. And some of you are falling down and worshiping the devil. You're falling down and worshiping the devil. Some of you, I'm so disappointed. Some of you used to be so strong in your convictions and so strong for God. And man, I could count on you to stand against wrong, and you've done it, and all of a sudden you're cashing in everything. It's breaking my heart. Amen. And saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know what? Even Jesus gave us an example. He said, you know how you get the devil? You quote the Bible, you quote the Bible, you quote the Bible, you quote the Bible. The devil can't stand up against this. I was talking to Brother Ron on the phone after I got done visiting our area. He got held up in India and couldn't make it to go visiting with me, so he wanted to find out what happened. And I said, man, I ran into a young man that used to attend church here. I didn't even know he lived out this place. He came to me and he said, I'm going to tell you honestly. He said, I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm beginning to doubt that there's a God, and I'm beginning to doubt that the scriptures are true, and I'm beginning to doubt all of these things. And he just looked at me and said, preacher, you got to help me. I mean, what do? I'm reading this, and I'm reading that, and I'm seeing this on TV, and I'm hearing millions of years here, and the Bible teaches different. And I told him, I said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not in church, but you're listening to all this other stuff. And Brother Ron said on the phone, if I was there, I would have told him, instead of spending all your time reading all that stuff, get into the book. Get into the book. Let me tell you, that doesn't scare the devil. That scares the devil. Okay, this isn't a good luck charm that you put on your coffee table. Keep the devil away. That a closed Bible doesn't scare the devil. This scares the devil. Open it up, saturate it, man. Have family devotions. Have devotions yourselves. Quickly, number four, some devils will not be defeated except by prayer and fasting. Matthew chapter 17. Remember, this man took his son to the disciples and they wanted him to get this devil out of him. And he finally goes to Jesus. Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. By the way, that's what the devil will make you into. I look at some kids, I think they're lunatics. Sore vexed. Oftentimes they fall into the fire and oftentimes into the water. I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. Jesus was upset. He said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus' part and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How be it this kind goeth not but by prayer and fasting. Preacher, I've tried to do all of these things and it's not working. Then it's time to go into prayer. I mean prayer. I mean prayer. I mean warfare level prayer. I've got a rebellious wife. I don't know what to do with her. Then get on your knees and pray. By the hour, pray. By the hour. I've got a rebellious child. By the hour, pray. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. Fast and pray. Amen. Get involved in these 10 days of prayers coming up, man. Get involved with them. Give it a try. Amen. we don't defeat the devils in our life, we can't turn this thing back because we won't follow the Bible and its instruction. God's very plain as far as what we can do in order to cast out devils. First of all, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. Get that junk out of your house. Confess and forsake the sin of rebellion. Start dealing with that sin in your life and in your family's life. Saturate your life with the Word of God. Begin to go into seasons of prayer and fasting. And watch this. Resist satanic activity in your life by invoking the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me read you some verses, and I'll tell you exactly how I do that. We'll be done. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, James chapter 4. This is tough stuff. Get ready. Put your seatbelt on. Amen. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Whose side are you on? Be not conformed to this world. Are you, and have you been over the last several months conforming to the world? Conforming to the world. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Just too proud to admit you're wrong. But giveth grace unto the humble. Watch this. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Preacher, how do you resist the devil? Well, first of all, you can't be friends with the world. But it goes on. How do you resist the devil? How about this? Ephesians 1, let me read. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Whose name is that? The name of Jesus. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by her soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. Revelations chapter 12 talks about that great dragon that was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. Who? The devil. Who? Satan. Who? That great dragon. That old serpent. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Listen to me. I want to give you something. And by the way, if you're going to keep all this junk in your house, don't do this last one. If you're going to stay in a state of rebellion, this last one's not going to work. Everybody wants a hocus pocus magic spell. It doesn't work that way. But I'm going to tell you something. There's times when I know that there is a direct satanic attack upon my mind, upon my heart, upon my home, upon my life. And let me tell you something. I've learned that if I will resist the devil, he will flee from me. But I can't resist him in my own power. I've got to use that name that's above every name. And you know what? He's afraid of the Word of God, and he's afraid of the Son of God, and he's afraid of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't really do this. I do. I sometimes will say out loud in my house, devil, you are done here. I plead the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you out of this house and out of my mind and out of my life. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, you may have just made yourself at home with a bunch of devils, but I'm telling you how to get them out of your house. And I'm going to tell you something. When I plead the blood of Jesus and I plead the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't tell you how many times the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes upon my heart, and my mind begins to clear and the oppression begins to leave. Because, folks, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you listening to me? Man, we've just opened the door and let the devil in. We've let him in our homes. We let him in the church house. I mean, we bring his music up on the stage and have it performed. I mean, you go to the average church and you look around and it looks like that you're having services amongst the tombs. No, it does. All of the evidences of the maniac are in the lives of most of the faithful church members. And everybody says, well, you know, we just live in a different culture. You just have to minister a different way. You don't team up with the devil to minister. Has this helped you today? Why don't you cast out some devil? Oh, preacher, you're talking about Jesus stuff. Well, Paul did it. Apostles did it. And they didn't do it through their name. Why don't you resist the devil instead of joining him? Why don't you fight back? Why don't you care enough about your church to fight back? Why don't you care enough about your marriage to fight back? Why don't you care enough about your children and grandchildren to fight back? Okay, we're talking this morning about casting out devils. Well, look at that, straight up and down, noon, high noon, high noon. Isn't that where they always went out into the main street, you know, and you face the guy down with the black hat on the other end? Well, guess what? I think you know how to face him down now, if you will. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. The attacks of the devil, they're so blatant, they're so public, they're so in our face. The devil used to have to be kind of sneaky. He's not even trying to be sneaky anymore. Lord, the Bible says we should not be ignorant of his devices. I've given the people a lot of information in about an hour's time. I preached a little longer than I normally would on a Sunday morning. But God, we've got to do something about this. We're losing our young people because we won't stand up against this stuff. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just help us, Lord. Help us. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help us to go about this in a biblical fashion. Stay within the clear parameters of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we'd also understand the devil. He doesn't fight fair. And he doesn't have to win. He's a defeated foe. The only way he can win if we hand him the victory. The only way he can win is if we hand it to him. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to access the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, thank you for shedding that precious blood and the power of that blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Dear God, I pray that we'd be busy in this matter of defeating the devil with the word of our testimony. I imagine for about 7 hours yesterday, that's what I did. Just went out there and used the word of my testimony, did battle with the devil. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd help us not to love our lives unto death. We've got to take a stand no matter what the consequences are. We've got to speak truth no matter what the consequences are. We've got to do right. Oh, Lord. I pray, dear God, that the tide of satanic attacks that have been unleashed against this church and against some of the families in this church, that the people of God will stand up through the power of God and fight back. Do right. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.